Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Soon we'll be having a conversation about how to navigate difficult family conversations this year. But first, as we head into Thanksgiving week, we asked you what you're thankful for despite the extraordinary circumstances of 2020. And from now until the end of the show, we'll read some of your responses and hear some of your voicemails. Here's one we received from Joan in Urbana.
This is Joan from Urbana. This year, we are very thankful that, unlike over a quarter of a million of our fellow citizens, we are still alive and healthy. We're also very grateful for the frontline workers who are making that possible, not just the doctors and policemen and ambulance drivers that we all know about, but some of the more hidden workers, including people like the Instacart workers and the delivery drivers. So we're very thankful to all of them and hope that we will all soon be on the other side of this pandemic.
We also got a text from Stephen in Urbana who says, "It appears America is poised to constructively deal with its history of racial and economic injustice towards Native and African Americans. If we witness meaningful progress in this in the coming year, we will have something to be truly thankful for," end quote. And one more voicemail, this one from Angela.
Hi there. My name is Angela. I'm in Southern Indiana. I am extremely glad that it looks like there is an end in sight.
Indeed, more positive vaccine news this morning, with AstraZeneca's vaccine reportedly being 90% effective. That's the third COVID vaccine to have such promising results in the past few weeks. But they're not here yet. And as we enter Thanksgiving week, the CDC is strongly urging Americans to celebrate Thanksgiving only with their household and avoid any unnecessary travel as cases of COVID-19 surge to record highs across the country. Now, the holidays can be a stressful time for many reasons. There's the meal planning, coordinating with family members, and traveling. This year, though, a lot of those typical stressors have been replaced with other concerns because of the pandemic. For most of us, this means a scaled-down Thanksgiving without extended family or friends. So while political arguments at the dinner table maybe are not likely to be as much of an issue this year, there's still quite a bit to talk about when it comes to our mental health. To help us navigate this stress and some of those difficult conversations we're bound to have with family, we're joined by Jacob Goldsmith, a clinical psychologist and coordinator of the Emerging Adulthood Program at the Family Institute at Northwestern. Jacob, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me back.
I'd also like to welcome back Dr. Adarunke Pedersen. She's a psychiatrist and an instructor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Pedersen, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me on, Brian.
And listeners, if you want to join our conversation, if you have a question for our next guests about navigating difficult family conversations, or you just want to tell us what you're thankful for this year, our lines are open now until the end of the show. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Jacob, I want to begin with you. You work mostly with young adults. Normally, this time of year, a lot of young people are maybe a bit anxious about going home and being around those old family dynamics, or maybe they would have been planning a Thanksgiving meal, but for most of us, that's not happening this year. What are some of the concerns you're hearing from people now leading up to the holidays?
Well, I'm hearing from a lot of the emerging adults that I work with. First and foremost, we're seeing a record number of young people back living at home with their parents. And so the stressors about the holidays are somewhat the same, talking about different political things, but that's coming on top of the stress of young people feeling like they've been knocked off course in their life development by COVID, and they're having to manage living at home with their parents or having their parents living with them when that was not what they were planning this year. And so that just raises the stress all around, not to mention that typical family discussions are stressful enough when it doesn't feel like life and death safety are on the line.
Yeah, that's an excellent point about the life and death stakes being added to what can already be fraught family conversations. Dr. Pedersen, I wonder if you're hearing similar stories.
You know, I care in large part for the Black community in my clinic. And one of the things that, you know, is recurrent given this year and how it's, you know, kind of shaped out, remains questions about, you know, racial tensions and how we navigate, you know, some of the things that we've been trying to figure out this year, even though obviously they've been going on for a long time. And I think, you know, that old method of sort of not talking about it at all or not bringing it up at all, regardless of whether, you know, what your racial ethnic background is, if you have opposing views, I think that idea of a divided America, right, is kind of front and center for us. So I think people in my clinic, whether they're Black or other, you know, a different ethnicity or racial background, they're having questions about, do I say anything? Do I not say anything? You know, do we kind of go business as usual, whether it's virtual or in person? And there's a lot of tension that already, you know, came up around, should we have Thanksgiving or not? And I think, you know, over the last 2 weeks, things have, you know, even further changed, right, dramatically across the country. And those tensions, you know, are hopefully not as stark right now, because I'm sure many people have already made their decisions. We're in the week of Thanksgiving, but I think certainly there's some apprehension that I'm seeing among my patients about what is this going to look like given, you know, the backdrop.
Well, you mentioned that we shouldn't shy away from those conversations. So how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, you know, I think while there is value in saying, you know, this tends to bring up a lot of tension or anger, so let's not talk about it, there's also value in saying, you know, is it possible for us to have productive conversations? You know, because I think that's part of the healing process. And to kind of make ground rules for yourself, even if you can't control the environment, you know, based on other people's reactions, are you going to practice good listening? Because when we listen to other people speak and really give them that room and space to speak, it makes it easier for any conversation rather than listening in a way that we're just sort of waiting to speak. Compassion and respect is so valuable. I think a lot of times, you know, one of the reasons some of these conversations become so tense is because we move away from the conversation itself to sort of putting each other down or shaming each other and, you know, really making that effort to try and listen with compassion, but also respect, respecting the other person. And the point is not to win the argument. The point is to have a conversation, to have a dialogue, and to not try to have, you know, a conversation that should take many, many different conversations in one sitting. And I think sometimes Thanksgiving puts that pressure on people that I have to talk about every aspect of this right now, right here. So I think that pressure we want to sort of shy away from.
Yeah, we're not going to solve American politics and a history of racial injustice and the coronavirus disease
Absolutely.
In one conversation. Jacob, before you can even get to those conversations, though, people are having to have sort of difficult conversations, even getting into Thanksgiving. Maybe that conversation is, I can't come home this year, or I don't think it's a good idea that we get together. If someone hasn't had that family conversation yet, and maybe different branches of a family are on different places on that, and same thing if we're looking ahead to the other holidays coming up, Christmas, for example, are there any tips on how to approach that?
Sure. I think the first thing to figure out is, what is the goal of the conversation? If you are feeling like you have sort of a more conservative approach to safety, you're following the directives of the health department and the CDC, and you have family who is not, who you feel like are being perhaps too risky, remember that you're always allowed to set a boundary. I think people often feel uncomfortable saying no. But when it comes to matters of personal safety and other things, you're allowed to set boundaries, and you're allowed to be disappointed, and you're allowed to disappoint people. And I would rather see people making decisions to keep themselves safe. And if that needs to be then addressed as a family at a later time, so be it. But I think first and foremost, for certain folks, we need to remember that you're just allowed to set a boundary. I think that beyond that, if it's a maybe less extreme situation, so everyone's more on the same page, but there are details to hash out, I've been advocating for a sort of two-part solution. One is easiest thing you can do is defer to the most conservative about safety person's viewpoint. So if I believe that we should all meet outside and wear masks, and someone believes that we should limit the number of people, then let's go with the most limited, safest scenario. Beyond that, if there still needs to be more discussion, I would start with emotions rather than problem solving. I would start by trying to form an empathic connection. I think a good starting question for a family is, what does it mean to be a part of this family? And I think if we work through that process of empathic joining, then when we get to problem solving, everyone's going to feel a little better. They're going to feel a little closer. They're going to feel like they don't have to score points, but can rather be open and listen. So I would say empathy and emotions first and problem solving second.
Yeah. And you can always say, I guess you raised me to think about others and the safety of others, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Listeners, I want to remind you, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Jacob Goldsmith, a clinical psychologist and coordinator of the Emerging Adulthood Program at the Family Institute at Northwestern, and Dr. Adarunke Pedersen. She's a psychiatrist and an instructor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Pedersen, we've been talking a lot about holiday stress, but of course, a lot of us look forward to those traditions and rituals with family every year, and a lot of us are going to be missing out on that. Any advice for how to deal with those feelings of grief this year, those feelings of missing out?
That's absolutely correct. It's a tough year, regardless of what angle you're coming at it from, but I do think sort of counting our blessings is also important, rather than focusing solely. I mean, certainly there's a grieving process that, you know, we want to be authentic with about not having, you know, what would be a traditional holiday experience. But beyond focusing on that, I think it's also important to focus on, you know, the reason why I'm making these sacrifices and making these decisions this year is so that we can all be together next year. And no one wants to be in that position of, you know, sort of having the short view in mind and missing out on the long view, because we have before us, you know, over 250,000 people who have passed away from COVID in less than a year. And so I think having that perspective of, you know, even starting to make plans for next year, saying, you know, next Thanksgiving, I want to go big in this way, or I want us to do something even more, you know, elaborate, you know, trying to think beyond the here and now and remember that we are giving each other this gift of safety. And that is what, you know, we can be thankful for. I think the other thing is finding ways to have fun still, finding ways to do things that are maybe somewhat creative and innovative. So for example, some families might decide that they're still going to cook some of their traditional meals, but they're going to cook together with, you know, video conferencing in the kitchen. And they might even decide if they, you know, if a couple of them live close enough to each other, that they're going to share some of the food that they cook without necessarily being in the same space physically. So I think it's important for us to not dwell solely on the negative, because I think that kind of forces us into a spiral, but to take into context some of the other aspects of this and try and focus on some of the positive things that are happening around us.
Jacob, what about you? Do you see this as an opportunity for maybe some new traditions, taking the long view?
I do. I see it as opportunity for new traditions and also for deeper exploration of old traditions. I think this is a great time for families to ask why, and not why in a critical way, but why in a curious way. Why have we done things the way that we've done them? What is important about doing things that way? And so when there's this break from the norm and this break from the routine, there's an opportunity to interrogate, what do we really want to get out of these holidays? And when we do that, we can then begin to think more creatively about how to fulfill those needs. So for me, we were trying to decide as a family whether to Zoom during dinner or to Zoom during prep as we were cooking. And what became clear to me thinking about that is, personally, I value that time cooking with folks more than I do eating with them. And so this was a chance for me to clarify that and therefore plan to do some Zoom with my brother while we were cooking, as opposed to while we were eating.
That's a great idea. We're, in fact, my partner is putting together sort of a cruise ship itinerary, she calls it, where grandma is going to be able to do some baking with the kids at one point, and then we are actually going to do the Zoom during the meal. We're going there. Dr. Pedersen, do you have any advice about that in terms of Zoom etiquette, right? Especially if you have a family, and we only have maybe 30 seconds left on this, but differing political views, I mean, unless you go to a breakout room, how do you keep those boundaries?
Yeah, you know, I think things are still raw this year. So I would say to folks, you know, no pressure to have, you know, detailed, gruesome conversations. I think it'll be easier to have some of these conversations when we move away from some of the very raw, intense things that have happened even in the last month and that are in some ways still happening, right? So I think taking a pause this Thanksgiving is important. We have a lot of pressure on us already as a society.
Dr. Adaranka Pedersen is an instructor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. We've also been speaking with Jacob Goldsmith, who's a clinical psychologist and coordinator of the Emerging Adulthood Program at the Family Institute at Northwestern University. I want to thank you both so much for being with us and giving us some great ideas and advice for helping us keep our sanity this holiday season. And happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up on the 21st, we are going to be talking with a food writer and podcaster about small-scale Thanksgiving meals. Maybe you're going to be cooking for one. We've got some advice. Stay with us.